let's do the thing.
And we're live.
Well, I mean, we're not live, but
we're recording. You
know, we're recorded live in front of this audience here at the Homeworld Production Studios.
This is where you gotta, like, pipe in a laugh track or, like, applause or something.
I just need, like, a clip of, like, Caesar going, Hey, everybody, welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff.
What other one's this?
45.
45.
45 of these.
Why have we done 45 of these?
What else do we have to do, Mike? No, seriously, what else would we do?
Other things?
Well, I mean, you and I have a budding career as YouTube gamers.
Budding in that no one watches our stuff.
Shut up. I'm sure if you asked nicely, your mom would watch these. Matt watches them. Why do I keep doing that? This is like a recent development where I can't tell you two apart.
Well, we do look and sound very similar. No, we don't.
Matt is the Hobbit version of you.
Although he looks a lot like my dad.
You know what that means.
The first time Matt met my mother's side of the family.
Yeah.
They were all like going to my dad being like, is he your son from like before you met Kathy or...
And the fun thing is, I guess this is our Matt story for the podcast. The fun fact is, as we've learned in previous episodes of the podcast, given the option, your mom would probably say, yes, that is my son.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love you, Mike's mom.
Podcast over. I'm podcast sad now.
Podcast over. Life over. Mike is done.
Done. I'll at least suffer through 5 more of these.
So I can take a 2-week vacation from them before we come back after the first of the year.
Oh, that's cute that you think we're coming back.
We're coming back with a vengeance.
It's adorable that you think that.
We're, again, much like with the videos and everything else, what else would we do?
I could be using this time right now to film my Special Forces Let's Play after I found that disc.
Are you really going to do... I saw that. Are you really going to do a Special Forces LP?
I have to.
I feel like I should be doing, like, a similarly themed LP, but I don't own Mythology Sub-Zero. Also, I'm terrible.
As soon as I found this, I was like, I still have Sub-Zero and Shaolin Monks.
I do have Shaolin Monks. God, I wish that had online. We would play the shit out. Maybe you would have fun doing an LP of that online.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe I should just do, like, the Mythology series.
Here's an LP of 3 games that everyone was really excited for and then immediately regretted that. Oh, God, no.
I don't think anyone was really excited for Special Forces.
I don't even think anyone realized it was coming out. It just showed up and everybody went, oh, God, what the fuck is this? From the second you see that intro video, it's, oh.
I remember them saying, like, hey, we're coming out with a sort of a sequel to Mythology Sub-Zero, but it's about Jax and Sonya, and I was like, cool, that sounds like it could be a good game, and then I heard nothing about it until, like, 2 years after it had come out, and it's like, oh, yeah, the, like, Mortal Kombat development team almost completely fell apart because of this game. Like, that's gotta be a fucking gem.
All the shit that franchise has gone through, because, I mean, like, I'm sure, much like me, you've seen it, you know what a clusterfuck the development of Mortal Kombat has been over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Special Forces that almost did them in.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one, like the other games just had, like, some inner turmoil, like, amongst the developers and stuff. This mm-hmm. game had Midway just breathing down their necks to get another game out.
Well, I mean, they got their wish.
So this had, like, corporate turmoil, which always works out for the best, doesn't it? That has never wrecked any franchise.
No franchise has ever suffered, especially not Mortal Kombat, which kept cutting out quality games after Special Forces, like Deadly Alliance.
Deadly Alliance was their best game.
Deception.
Deception was not their best game.
Armageddon.
Armageddon was fun.
Mortal Kombat Tournament Edition on the Game Boy Advance.
That doesn't count. Ports don't count.
Remember, there wasn't there a Game Boy Color version of Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero? That should tell you all you need to know about that version of the game.
I don't know if there was, but
I feel like there was. It may have been one of those things where they were like, we're going to make a port of it. And then as soon as somebody played it, they went, nope.
No, we're not. No, we're not going to do that.
No, we're not. Nope. Never mind. Which version of Mythologies do you have? 64 or the PS1?
I have the 64 version.
You have the shitty version. You have the one that cuts out the best part of Mortal Kombat Mythologies.
But the FMV scenes?
The FMV cutscenes.
Yeah, but I didn't have a PlayStation at the time that it came out.
I mean, a copy of that is very expensive. I'm sure it goes for like $1 million on Amazon.
The funny thing, when I found this Special Forces disc...
was the fact that you were like, oh god, I bought that, didn't I?
Well, no, I knew that I had bought it, and I knew it was around here somewhere. But I was going to take a picture of the outside case, and mm-hmm. there was a sticker on it that said $6.99, and I wanted to peel that sticker off so badly so that I didn't show anybody how much I actually paid for this game.
By the way, a PS1 copy of Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero goes on new on Amazon for $116.
Good lord.
But a used copy is $5.28.
Oh.
That's like a new, like, in-the-box shrink-wrapped, like, I'm a fucking hardcore collector copy.
Yeah.
I have no life.
If I can get, listening audience, a copy of the PlayStation version of Mythology Sub-Zero, I will do a Let's Play of it.
I am tempted to order this right now so I can do Sub-Zero while you do Special Forces.
And dueling Mythologies?
We can just see which one of us loses their mind first. Which LP will end prematurely first? Nope, done. Can't do it. No, done. I did.
Well, I had fun with Sub-Zero. I think it gets a bad rap.
It does. I played it for a little bit. I actually also owned Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero once upon a time, years ago. Or maybe I just rented it checked it out while I was working at GameStop. I can't remember. I remember thinking it got a bad rap. I remember thinking it was better than everybody said. And I also remember thinking the control scheme is so fucking goddamn convoluted made the game hard as shit. I get why the control scheme is like that, because they were basically taking a fighting game and adapting it into a side-scrolling beat-em-up. But oh my god, the fucking turn button?
Yes. Oh god, yes.
You're having, like, flashbacks right now, aren't you?
When, like, five ninjas come up from behind you and you're facing the wrong way, so you just start throwing punches and you're hitting the wall.
This is alright. I have a turn. Yeah. Oh, God. What memories. What memories.
What memories.
Not good memories, but memories nonetheless. I was on a whole kind of, I was on, like, a really big Mortal Kombat kickback thing. Because I didn't get to play Mortal Kombat 4 because I didn't have a PS1 or a Dreamcast or an N64. And by the time I got a PS2, because by the time I got a PS1, the PS1 was, like, done. You couldn't really find PS1 games anywhere. And by the time I finally got a PS2, Mortal Kombat Deception had just come out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to go back and play all the other ones. This is fucking awesome! And so I played Deadly Alliance. I was like, this isn't terrible. And then I played Sub-Zero, and I was like, this is fucking bad. And then, while I was in a buy-low that was going out of business, I saw for sale a copy of Mortal Kombat Special Forces, and I was like, I have learned my lesson. I am not buying that.
You really should.
So keep your eye on Mike's channel for the Mortal Kombat Special Forces LP.
And possibly Mythologies, because I'm looking at, like, eBay and stuff right now.
Cheap as shit?
Like, $11.50. I could swing $11.50.
I am literally $5.28 on Amazon right now for a PS1 copy. I am looking at it.
Mike and Chris surf Amazon. Great fucking radio.
This is the podcast where Mike and Chris say, I could buy that.
Yeah, I could get that. I've got a job now, so shit.
Yeah, Mike's got a job now.
I can pay $6.50 for a fucking game.
This is the episode where Mike and Chris just lose their souls. I can buy a copy.
I can do that. I can do it.
I can buy a copy of Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero. What's the worst that could happen?
Wait, that's the N64 version. I don't want that. Go. No, I have that one.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck that. Don't buy that.
Well, I already have it. I still have it because I haven't gotten rid of any of my N64 games.
All the more reason not to buy it. That's bad. Mike, do you know what you need to be enjoying?
What do I need to be enjoying?
While you're playing Mortal Kombat Special Forces?
What?
wouldn't you like a big 2-liter bottle of delicious, refreshing Doritos?
What?
Did you not read about Doritos?
Is this the Doritos-flavored Mountain Dew?
Doritos-flavored Mountain Dew.
Because I remember they had the Mountain-flavored Dew Doritos.
Mountain-flavored Doritos.
They had the Mountain Dew-flavored Doritos, and they were awful.
Now you can get Doritos-flavored Mountain Dew.
They've drinkified their chips. That just sounds terrible.
Nothing makes me sadder for the fact that all week the news headlines were Mountain Dew Doritos and Kim Kardashian's ass. Like, I give up, humanity. I'm done.
What news sites are you going to?
I just look at the news feed in Facebook. It's all on WrestleZone. It's all on WrestleZone. John Cena's hawking Doritos.
I mean, I see the headlines when I go to sign into my email.
Yeah.
And I saw something about Kim Kardashian's naked, and I'm, who cares?
That was 7 years ago. Why are we talking about that now?
Why are we talking about her at all? Who cares?
Why? What is she famous for? Lots of people have random sex with people for no fucking reason. Why is she special?
A lot of people film it, and it doesn't matter.
I'm sure if you go to Google and you search right now, you could probably find quite a few people who have filmed it. But don't do that, because who knows who you'll find.
A lot of less famous people are producing better videotaped sex than she did, and are not getting near the recognition for it.
Darv, don't get any ideas.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna become famous. Sure.
No, what scares me about that is that Tarf might be like, I got access to hotel rooms. I could run a whole business here. Don't do it, Tarf. Please don't. We'll stop mentioning you on the podcast.
Yeah, the rooms that aren't being used that night, use those to operate your porn empire. You're welcome, Tarf.
I'm going to go on a limb and say we are probably not the first people to think of that.
I want you to remember where you got this idea, Tarf, when you're rich. Just remember you got it from me and Chris.
Remember, you were listening. Remember when they're like, where did you get this idea? And you can be like, well, Matt Lauer, I was listening to Room Full of Nerd Stuff. There's an Evil Dead TV show coming out.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about that. I feel like that's a striking while the iron has been cold for about 20 years scenario. Like, I love Bruce Campbell, but I don't want to see, like, 50-year-old, horrendously out-of-shape Bruce Campbell trying to take on that role.
And I really, really don't like Bruce Campbell.
Oh, that's right, you hate Bruce Campbell!
Nor do I like Sam Raimi.
He has lost a lot of faith with me. Like, with Sam Raimi, which one came first? Was it Spider-Man 3 or Drag Me to Hell?
I want to say Spider-Man 3 came out first.
Whichever one it was that came out first.
Because I thought he finished Spider-Man, and then they were like, he's returning to horror, and it was a fucking terrible movie.
I think that's... Whichever one it was, I saw the one that came out first, and I said to myself, maybe I should rethink this whole Sam Raimi as a great director thing. And then I saw the other one, and I said, I'm definitely rethinking this Sam Raimi as a... Oh my god, Drag Me to Hell was bad.
It was really, really bad. Yeah, Drag Me to Hell was 2009, Spider-Man 3 was 2007.
Oh god, was it really 2007?
Oh, and then he did the Wizard of Oz prequel, which was also crap.
I did not watch that one.
Oh god. Yeah, I went and saw that.
Your movie sounds great! The prequel to The Wizard of Oz!
Well, it was like Christmas time or something, and my mom wanted to see it, and so we like all went out to breakfast and then went and saw that afterwards, and I'm sitting there going, oh my god, this is a terrible movie.
So it was the obligatory like Christmas Day go do what mom likes because it's Christmas thing?
It wasn't Christmas Day, but it was kind of like her birthday and Christmas are like close together, so...
Was your whole family just born in December?
She was born like really late November.
Oh, okay. I know your birthday is like right around Christmas.
Yeah, mine's December 21st. Uh-huh. So if anyone's thinking of ideas, Mortal Kombat Mythology.
I think what everybody's thinking is, Mike's family loves the fucking March.
Well, that's I kind of went back from like when I was born to when I would have been conceived. And just in like the part of my development where I would have been growing ears, Ghostbusters was the number one song on the radio.
That explains.
So
yeah.
I like that explains a lot.
Really, I think it was the same for me. I just imagined you're like in the womb doing the like walking down the street thing they were doing in the music video. Your mom's like, he's kicking. Ooh, ooh. It's weird.
But yeah, Sam Raimi, terrible director, terrible movies.
Really, Sam Raimi sucks, really Bruce Campbell sucks, movies. Buy Mortal Kombat Mythology, Sub-Zero.
Really, just really overrated movies. I wouldn't say that most of them are, like, terrible, terrible, but the way people, like, lose their shit over the Evil Dead trilogy, and it just, like, ugh, it was not that great.
I only ever saw Army of Darkness, and I really enjoyed it, but I've not watched it in 10 years, so I don't know how much I must have enjoyed it if I've been, like, in 10 years, I've not been like, you know what, I should watch that again. And it's the same way with Spider-Man 1 and 2, which I've said for years Spider-Man 2 was great, and now it's kind of been overshadowed by much better comic book movies. But I kind of feel like if I went back and watched Spider-Man 2, like, right now, I would probably be like, this isn't so hot.
Yeah. But no, just, like, the way everyone goes off about Evil Dead, and I saw them, and it's like, I was like, eh, these are not great. And then people were like, no, they're fucking awesome and funny and great. And I'm like, that kind of clouded my judgment even further on it. We're like, no, they're absolutely shit.
No, if you like them that much, they must be terrible.
So I won't go so far as to say that they are awful, awful movies, but people have sort of driven me to say that they are awful, awful movies by loving them so much when they're not that great.
So you're going to be, like, outside of the theater, picketing anything Sam Raimi, screaming, this is all your fault!
No, I certainly don't give Sam Raimi that much attention to worry about picketing his movies.
Speaking of comic book movies, they are doing a really, like, kind of jumping the gun job of casting the DC Comics movies.
Oh, really?
They took a girl from The Wolf of Wall Street. I can't remember her name.
Oh, right. They cast her as Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. Now they're talking about
Suicide
Leto.
Squad, right?
Yeah, now they're talking about Jared Leto playing the Joker in the Suicide Squad movie.
I don't know anything about Suicide Squad.
Here's a very important fact about Suicide Squad. The Joker has nothing to fucking do with it. Suicide Squad is it's a team of villains that are captured by a government agency and forced to go do missions where they will very likely die.
Wasn't that the Thunderbolts?
No, the Thunderbolts were a team of villains posing as heroes to trick the world into giving them access to the Avengers' secrets. And then the villains were like, no, being heroes is awesome, and decided to be heroes full time.
Okay.
There was a revamp Thunderbolts they did that was villains being forced to go do hero missions, but they weren't like a covert agency. That was the whole thing with Suicide Squad. It was like very much kind of covert political missions they were on. And also, unlike Thunderbolts, they would kill somebody every story. Like, one of the villains would die in every single story.
Mm.
So it was, I mean, you could usually tell who it was. There was occasionally like a lot of really random C and D listers in the stories, but.
And I only read it for a little while, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a very interesting concept. It's very good when it's done right. The Joker has nothing to fucking do with that. And, fun fact, wasn't in the original script for Suicide Squad. The WB was just really like, you know, we need the Joker in here.
We can't have Harley Quinn without Joker.
So they're going to, like, jump the gun on this Joker thing. And this also creates another issue, which makes me wonder. So, Jared Leto plays very young. He's a very young-looking actor.
Despite being, like, 56.
And they're pushing their Batman as being, like, in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, like, kind of old curmudgeon-y Batman, and then you're gonna have, like, young spry Joker, who was, like, a boy when Batman started. No.
Yeah, they'll have to age him up.
Well, they'll have to recast Batman in a few movies anyways, because by the time they're done with these current fucking movies, Ben Affleck really is going to be 60.
Yeah.
Didn't think that one through.
Although, what's his name, that's Hawkeye. He even said that, like...
Yeah, but nobody gives a shit about Hawkeye. We're talking about fucking Batman. We're talking about the centerpiece of this. I don't care what they say about Man of Fucking Steel. They're building this thing around Batman.
But yeah, he was saying something about how Marvel wants you to sign on for like 7 movies. He's like, do I really want to be jumping around in tights when I'm like 72?
Well, you know, that's how the guy that played Bucky in Captain America, they got him signed to like a 14-picture deal.
Oh my god.
Like, right after Winter Soldier, somebody asked him about it, and his wife was in the crowd or something, and she was just like, you did what?
But even then, like, Chris Evans' contract is going to come up, and yeah. They still got Sebastian, what?
Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, they got him. I almost said Sebastian Shaw. That was an X-Men villain.
Ah! That was Kevin Bacon.
Yes, it was. But they got Sebastian Stan for 14 movies, so they're going to have to, like, completely get rid of Captain America and have, like, the adventures of Bucky.
I thought Bucky Cap was more interesting than Steve Cap anyway, so I'm okay with that. But I'm, like, the only person who's a comic book fan that thought that, apparently.
But they won't actually do that. They'll just have, like, Winter Soldier will take over for Cap in the Avengers, but he'll still be Winter Soldier.
Nah.
Or no. He'll just be Robo-Bucky.
Robo-Bucky? That makes me think I'm going to do, like, a RoboCop movie, but with Robo-Bucky.
Robo-Bucky.
Dead or alive, and then he shoots him in the face. Fuck it, Dad. He's the Winter Soldier. He doesn't care. Fucking Winter Soldier.
No, by then they'll totally, like, baby-faced him out and...
Well, they already baby-faced him out. Did you not see Winter Soldier? He didn't kill Steve, and then he went to the museum and was all like, oh my god, I'm Bucky.
Well, there was still the conflict.
Conflict.
He'll have gotten rid of the conflict so that he'll know completely that killing is bad.
He'll just show up in the next Captain America movie and be like, I'm better now.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
I'm good, guys.
I cleaned all that eyeliner off my face.
Sorry, guys. I just really got into Taking Back Sunday for a little bit there. That's what it is. That's all Arnim Zola's brainwashing is. They just play a lot of really bad early 2000s emo music.
Yeah. Yes, today Sunday people... Good Charlotte just playing in my head over and over again.
Yes, let me introduce you to this one, Bucky. We call him Simple Plan.
Yeah! They are Canadian, yeah?
Oh, what do you think of this Sum 41? This one married Avril Lavigne, yeah? Yeah? No, they are not married to Nickelback. You are not ready for that level of torture.
We want to torture you, not kill you.
I don't know why Arnim Zola is like a weird, effeminate German Mickey Mouse in this scenario.
Because he is.
Oh, you like the Wiener Schnitzel, Minnie?
We went off on a weird tangent there.
That was fucking weird. Like
they're casting Harley Quinn and Joker for the Suicide Squad. That led into weird Mickey Mouse Zola.
Weird German Mickey. No, somebody pointed out, too, when I've been trying to find a way to explain for ages, the biggest problem with the Batfleck casting. And I don't necessarily hate the Batfleck casting, but you've got Ben Affleck, who is a lifelong comic fan and currently one of the best directors you have access to, playing Batman in a Zack Snyder movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's a guy who has won Oscars for writing and directing. Not for acting.
Not for acting.
But you have him acting in your comic book movie.
Like, you just imagine, he's like, this is going to be so awesome, I'm going to make a Batman movie. Oh, you want me to play Batman? Well, that's pretty cool, too. I'll do that. Sure.
Sure, I guess I can play Batman, but...
I can't fault him for that, but you would hope at some point on the set, somebody would be like, maybe we should ask Ben what we should do. He seems to have this whole directing thing down.
That was like in one of the like Evening with Kevin Smith things that he was supposed to be writing something that Affleck was going to star in. I think it actually ended up becoming what Jersey Girl is or something. And he just kept badgering Smith, like, write it, write it. Have you written it yet? Why aren't you writing it? You need to write it. And he's like, motherfucker, one of us won an Oscar for writing.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, I would love Ben Affleck to direct the Batman movie. I think that would be really good.
Unfortunately, we will never see it.
No. Well, who knows? Maybe they'll do a Batman solo picture and be like, fuck it, let Ben direct it.
Direct, star, and write in it.
He'll, like, occasionally forget what he's doing. He'll be, like, in the director's chair, and he'll be like, action! Wait.
Oh, I hope he doesn't do the Christian Bale gargly Batman.
Gargly Batman. The macho Batman Randy Dark Knight. Where is the Joker? Yeah. Ooh, where's the Slim Jim? Ooh. Weird fucking podcast. I watched Dumb and Dumber the other night, Mike.
Yes.
I mentioned this. Are you excited for Dumb and Dumber 2?
No.
No?
No, because it is, like, a 20-year sequel.
I wouldn't say I'm excited for it, but I'm definitely interested in seeing it. Because I agree with your sentiment, as you pointed out. The first movie doesn't really get the credit it deserves.
No, I thought it was way funnier. And, like, despite the title, a lot smarter.
Yeah.
Than it's given credit for.
It's the thing that stood out to me when I was watching it would have been so easy to just make that a fucking 90-minute long dick and boner fart joke movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have still made it probably would have made more money. Let's be honest. But it's a really kind of smart, funny movie. It never really made a lot of money.
Mm-mm.
Got a cartoon series, but so did Clerks, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, it just never got the credit it deserved, and man, fuck the prequel. That doesn't even deserve mentioning, but...
I don't know what you're talking about. They never made a prequel.
Yeah.
That never happened.
No, I had a guy in high school that went and saw the prequel and was mad at me for not going to see it opening weekend. Why haven't you seen that movie yet? I'm like, because it looks fucking retarded.
Because it's stupid. Oh, my God. So I wouldn't say I'm excited. I'm not, like, bouncing up and down my seat like, oh, my fucking God, a Dumb and Dumber sequel. But given it's the same people who made the first one, and they seem to at least be aware of the fact that it's 20 years later, I'm interested in seeing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But like, I think the gag in the trailer that explains what they've been doing for 20 years is fucking hilarious.
That Lloyd has been in a mental hospital.
Yeah. Say something, buddy. Say something. Gotcha. I think that's great.
You've been sitting here for 20 years just for a gag? Uh-huh.
And having watched the first movie, that totally just, it's spot on. What did these guys do for 20 years? Not a fucking thing.
Yeah. One of them spent 20 years in a mental hospital just to play a prank on the other.
Just to fuck with the other one. So.
But yeah, it's like, it's a thing. I'm not going to rush out to theaters to see it. I'll probably see it on DVD later. But looks like it could be funny, but I'm not super excited about it. So.
That's our opinion on Dumb and Dumber 2. There's not a lot of movies coming out right now that I'm terribly excited for. I'm saving all that hype for Star Wars Episode 7. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. What do you think of the subtitle for that, by the way?
What was it again?
The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
The Force got put down for a nap, and now it's time to get up.
I think that the fans either like, yay, oh my god, that sounds awesome, or oh my god, that sounds stupid. It's a subtitle. That's all we know about the movie so far. Shut up.
It's no better or worse than any of the previous six subtitles.
No, and it
got.
Tells us nothing.
I would dare say it's probably better than all three of the prequel subtitles.
As far as, like, explaining what happens in the movies, Phantom Menace didn't give us anything, but then, Attack of the Clones, that's pretty much what happened in the movie.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Sith, that's pretty much what happened in the movie. Empire Strikes Back, that's what happened in the movie.
Don't even have to watch the movie, just read the subtitle. Oh, Clones Attack, never mind, fuck it.
And the Force is here again, okay, what does that mean? Did it leave?
Where'd the Force go? I have,
No, I think anyone just sort of, on either side of that fence are all idiots.
It's Star Wars. Diehard Star Wars fans are just like that. You give them, like, a fucking nugget, and they just scream their fucking heads off.
Well, I remember when, it was the D23 Expo earlier this year, and they were saying, like, we're gonna give you news about the new Star Wars movies, and everyone was like, yay, 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 and I'm like, just watch.
Not gonna give you shit.
They're gonna start bitching any minute now, and people were on Twitter being like, but everyone applauded when they said they had Star Wars news, so how can you say that they're gonna bitch? And then it's like, J.J. Abrams is gonna direct, yay! And that's all we got. And everyone's like, what the fuck, they didn't even give us a title, or who's gonna be in it, or what it's about, and I'm like, see, I told you, I told every fucking one of you.
They didn't tell us every single detail about the movie, including the plot and the finish.
I told every fucking one of you that any minute now, the fans were going to start bitching about shit that they have no grounds to bitch about, and there we go. And it's been happening ever since.
Fucking Star Wars fans. It's been happening since the 70s.
And all you pieces of shit are going to be there opening night to watch it, to complain about it on Twitter, because that is what you live for. You useless pieces of shit.
And we'll be here doing a podcast about what sacks of shit you are.
Yeah. I think, yeah, we should go see it. Opening night.
You aren't gonna go see it opening night.
I for Star Wars I might be convinced to do that. But then we should do a podcast that night.
That night? Like I should Skype you from the parking lot of the theater. Mike, what'd you think? It didn't suck.
No, we should get on Twitter, look up the whatever the hashtag is, and just start reading the complaint tweets and what assholes people are.
Reading the complaint tweets and explaining why those people are assholes?
Yeah.
I'm 100% behind this, actually. We should do this.
So, yeah, that's our plan.
That's what we're going to do. And I guarantee you, next year, we will have completely forgotten
about. Yes, next year's not going to happen. Don't hold your breath thinking that this is really going to happen, because it won't.
Wait, the movie comes out, what, December 15th? December 16th, Matt's going to call you and be like, hey, weren't you going to do that thing with the Star Wars movie? Yeah. Fuck!
What Star Wars movie? The one that came out yesterday? What? Shit. Oh, God.
Son of a bitch. I don't know. It's only just now entered that scope on my radar where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to happen. Basically, this includes even the Marvel movies and basically all of the DC movies. It's more, if it's more than a year or a year and a half out, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Cyborg movie? I'll believe that when I see it. Green Lantern reboot? No. Wonder Woman? No.
Well, I remember, like, around the time that, Spider-Man and X-Men 2 came out, that there was just that laundry list of Marvel movies that were going to come out, that were in the works, quote-unquote.
Well, they had, like, Spider-Man 3 and 4 in production, and that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, shit, that Deadpool movie is still in production. That's only been 14 years.
I remember they pitched an idea to Sam Raimi for Spider-Man 4, and he was like, that's stupid. And I'm like, Sam Raimi thought it was stupid? How fucking bad was that? Or how good was that?
Like, the guy that gave us emo strutting Peter Parker thought this was too stupid to make into a movie.
Oh my god.
And that brings us back to Sam Raimi.
Peter meets the Vulture, but it turns out the Vulture is really into bondage, and this leads to Peter and Mary Jane exploring a unique world. Spider-Man 4, the safe word is thwip. 40 Shades of Spider-Man.
But yeah, I'm with you on that. It's like, until they actually, like, start producing posters or anything like that, then who knows?
Not even posters. When I, like, read the report that says production began filming today, I will go, that's probably going to happen.
I've seen movies fall apart.
That's what I'm saying. After they started filming. Probably going to happen. I've seen trailers and then the movie's not even shown. The Fantastic Four movie in 94. There was a trailer for it on the Mrs. Doubtfire VHS. Never happened.
The really, really awful, like, German one?
It wasn't German. It was American. It was Roger Corman produced. And it's actually... I don't know how we would watch it because I don't want to get a copyright strike. But it is still my dream that one day we watch that movie. Because I think you would honestly be surprised. It's not... Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, that's a good movie. But...
It sounds like you're on the edge of saying that was a good movie.
It's got a charm and a heart to it that you wouldn't expect. Like, it was obvious, like, the director knew, but nobody else knew that the movie was just being made to keep the rights, and then they were going to shelve it. So everybody's acting their little hearts out in the movie. And there's a real, like, heart to it. And that being said, it's still not a great movie.
Which is exactly what they're doing with this new Fantastic Four movie. I think they're just making it only to keep the rights to it.
Oh, yeah, no, that, yeah, yeah, no, that's, I don't know,
They'll actually release that one, but they're only making it because they need to make another Fantastic Four movie or it'll go back to Disney.
I want to give that the benefit of the doubt, because that could potentially, like, that's either going to be, like, a really interesting, new, fresh take on the concept, or it's just going to be the biggest clusterfuck. And it's erring more towards clusterfuck, because every time I say to myself, maybe this isn't going to be that bad. Somebody who's involved in the movie does an interview and they're just like, yeah, no, we're doing this. Yeah, no, we're wearing containment suits. Yeah, no, we're being treated like disabled kids. What? We're not superheroes. We're kids with disabilities. We have to learn how to cope with them. What?
I don't know. I think a lot being of those able... things are being done to upset the fanboys who...
Being able to engulf yourself in fire is not a disability. It's fucking awesome.
Unless it burns you.
Well, I mean, you know, assuming.
And it burns everything around you. You're just in bed and you burst into flame, suddenly your house is gone.
I'm not saying, Tarv, douse yourself in gasoline and set yourself on fire. It'll be fucking awesome. Don't do that, Tarv.
I could see a definite downside to setting yourself on fire.
I mean, there's a definite downside to it. There's a variety of downsides to it. But, you know, you fucking set yourself on fire. And fly. At least you don't turn into a giant monster made out of Cracker Jacks. That was a joke about the thing, in case nobody listening picked that up.
Who's listening to this goddamn show wouldn't know that?
Out of the two people that listen to it? Hey, I will say the numbers keep going up. I just can't tell which numbers are correct. But
if you're listening to this and when Chris said, no, that was a joke about the thing, you went, oh, just stop listening. Stop listening. Don't listen anymore.
I want you to keep listening. Because what the hell else are we going to do if you stop listening? Play Mortal Kombat Special Forces?
Mm-hmm.
Well, while we're on the subject of comic book movies again, because I forgot I had this written down to talk about. Did you read about the Aunt May movie they supposedly want to do, and then immediately Sony went, nope, that's not really happening. Stop talking about it.
I didn't hear that they said no. I just saw all the rumors about it. They said it was going to be 90 minutes of an old woman walking around her house going, where's Peter?
Why is the laundry red and blue? It's frustrating because they're like, we're going to do an Aunt May movie. We're going to do a Spider-Woman movie. We're going to do a Sinister Six movie because the Spider-Man franchise is so bad. Here's a solution. Make a good Spider-Man movie.
Or just admit defeat and give it back to Disney.
The movie still makes so much goddamn money they don't want to do that, but they don't make so much money that they're like, we got to do something else.
Yeah, just admit defeat. Try to ride whatever you can on this updated Ghostbusters that you're doing. And just give Spider-Man to Disney. Just let him have it.
Here's the thing. A large part of the rumor was that it wouldn't be a movie about Aunt May. It would be like a story about a young Aunt May. Which immediately led people to believe it would probably be an adaptation of an old Marvel comic called Trouble. Have you ever read it?
Mm-mm.
It was from 2004. It was part of the Marvel Epic imprint. And the goal was to revitalize the romance comic genre. Romance comics were big, and like right before superhero comics hit it big, yeah. It was romance comics.
We're going to bring back a concept that's been dead since the 30s.
Pretty much. So the idea was they would do this story. It was a 5-part miniseries, and the main characters were sisters May and Mary, and then their boyfriends, brothers Richard and Ben. Those names probably sound familiar to you, Mike.
No.
If you're listening to this podcast and they don't sound familiar to you, you probably didn't get the thing joke earlier. So the idea was that the story would also be a possible soft reboot for Spider-Man.
Who am Ben?
You are Baboon? There's a 90s kid reference.
I not know name.
Me name what, huh? So the story is about, you know, May and Ben are dating, and Mary and Richard are dating, but Mary has spoken with a palm reader who told her if she has sex before she gets married, she'll be a mother by 20. So Richard and May start having an affair. And the story is about Richard and May having this affair. And so, of course, in an issue 4, May finds out she's pregnant. And Richard doesn't want to leave Mary. She doesn't want to leave Ben. So she comes up with this great idea. She sleeps with Ben, and then she looks at Ben. And she's like, all right, we were going to tell each other our darkest secrets. I'll go first. I'm pregnant. Oh my God. Isn't this great? Ben, what's yours? And there's this huge, like half the page is this panel, and it's just a close up of Ben's face looking sad as shit. And all it says is, I'm sterile. So in the next issue, after she runs away from all of that and shacks up with this guy who beats her, she has the kid and she gives it to Mary, and Mary goes up to Richard and she's like, it's our son. And they have her explain to May, what better way to find out if he really loves me than to see if he would run away from his son?
What?
So the idea being that Richard and Mary Parker raised Peter Parker, but it's actually May's son.
And this weird ass story was supposed to revitalize the romance comic genre?
It was supposed to revitalize that, and it was also supposed to be the new fan-accepted canon explaining that Aunt May was actually Spider-Man's mother. Never mind the fact that for the past, like, 50 years, Richard and Mary Parker met as agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and May Parker had, by her own admission, never had a child. For 50 years, but no, never mind, fuck that. We want romance comics.
Because nothing says romance like weird cheating relationships and running off with someone who's abusive.
Oh, the best part of that is nothing says romance like trapping your boyfriend with a child that's not yours.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Marvel Comics.
Of course, that was 2004, so...
Yep.
And wasn't around the same time that we found out that, Gwen Stacy had two rape babies with Norman Osborn?
Something like that.
Yeah. Go comics.
Sins Past. That was the name of that storyline. What year was Sins Past? The Amazing Spider-Man number 509. I It's just not a good year for Spider-Man. Why is there not a date on this fucking comic? Yeah, August 2004. Both those stories would have came out about the same time, actually. Because that was August 2004, and Trouble doesn't have a page on here. Oh, yes, it does. No, it doesn't. That's not it. There we go. Oh, no, it's 2003. I'm sorry. Trouble came out in 2003. September 2003.
Same time area. Same time frame.
Yeah, they're about a year apart. So over the span of a year, they were like, let's make this story. Oh my god, that's a terrible story. Let's fix this by giving Gwen Stacy rape babies.
So we can blame 2003 and 2004 for the entire, like, Brand New Day story. Like, we need to undo all of this.
Why doesn't anybody like to read Spider-Man comics?
They're full of sexual assault. People want to see Spider-Man fighting Dr. Octopus. They don't want to hear about rape babies.
I just remember that one panel of, like, Norman Osborn... Norman Osborn's O-face in Sins Past. Norman Osborn. That was a... Oh, can't wait to... Just watch Amazing Spider-Man 3 when it comes out in fucking, like, 2018 at this rate.
They'll have recast Spider-Man because Andrew Garfield will be 40 years old.
By then, Andrew Garfield will be cast in, like, an Avengers movie or something.
Yeah. We don't have the rights to Spider-Man, but here you go, Arachnaboy. You... Played Marvel by just, like, Andrew Garfield.
Marvel just, like, frantically digging through, like, all the back issues. There's gotta be someone kinda like Spider-Man, right? Oh, my God.
I wonder if, because of the whole deal, if Disney couldn't make a Spider-Man with Miles Morales.
No.
Like, does Sony only... Like, Sony owns the characters for film.
Well, he's still called Spider-Man, though. Yeah. Even though... So, like, you could put Miles Morales in your movie, I'm sure. You just can't have him be Spider-Man.
That's what I was wondering. Like, if he's just...
But, I mean, by that logic, you could probably do Peter Parker. He just can't be Spider-Man. It's complicated. And it would just open a can of worms, and there'd be a lawsuit no matter what they did, and it's just not worth
it. I mean, it depends on definitions, but...
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, because, like, with the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, to a degree Spider-Man, but not as much a degree because he's such a flagship character. Basically, you will notice if you go through and you read a Marvel comic right now, the Fantastic Four are not terribly prevalent, and the X-Men are kind of slowly going to the background.
Well, yeah, because that was the whole thing that they were saying, like, six months ago, that they were even, like, toying around with just outright canceling Fantastic Four and X-Men books.
I think they are. They are ending Fantastic Four in a few months. They won't cancel X-Men, but they should at least reduce it to one book, because God knows none of the 20 that are coming out right now are any good. And I've said for a while, the best thing they could do to Fantastic Four right now is just cancel a fucking thing. Let it gather dust on a fucking shelf for 3 or 4 years. Nobody's doing anything interesting with the Fantastic Four anymore. People keep trying to, and it just comes out weird and convoluted, and you get shit like Doctor Doom in leather armor with a guy who trained him or some bullshit.
They're just not interesting characters.
They can be when they're written right. They're supposed to be a family of adventurers and scientists, not wandering around New York punching people in the face. Cancel the book.
Every story that you could have told with them were told 40 years ago. There's no new ground with the Fantastic Four.
So my thinking, cancel the books. Let them gather dust. You could still have the character show up. Reed Richards can pal around with Iron Man, and Susan Storm can go help the Avengers. You could still have the character show up. Cancel the fucking book, let it gather dust for a few years, and when somebody has a good, original, unique Fantastic Four idea, you make it a big fucking deal that you're bringing the Fantastic Four back. Instead of you just saying, we're rebooting with a new number one, and the team is going into the negative zone because Reed fucked something up.
One of Reed's devices exploded, and it turned the Baxter Building inside out, and welcome to the negative zone because Fantastic Four.
Seriously, the current volume, or maybe it was the previous volume, they just keep fucking relaunching it. Started with Reed finds out everybody's dying, and rather than telling them, he takes them on a field trip across the universe to secretly try to find a cure under the guise that they're showing the kids the universe. Yay! Nobody gives a shit.
Cosmic field trip, woohoo.
Let's go explore the universe. By the way, we're fucking dying. When are we going to find out? Probably at the worst possible moment.
See, that that concept that you just pitched about let something sit on the shelf for a few years until someone has a decent idea.
Yeah.
I think that that would benefit all comics if they did that with every title.
You know, there was a time when that would happen. Do you remember, like, the pre-Iron Man Marvel comics? Like, pre-Iron Man movie Marvel comics.
What, like, early 2000s and stuff?
Where, like, Warren Ellis was doing an Iron Man book, and it was a big deal, but aside from that, nobody really gave a shit about the Avengers or any of its characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to fathom, because now it's like everywhere you turn, Iron Man showed up this month.
Yeah. But, like, if they would just limit the books to, like, our writer pitches a story to Marvel and says, okay, we need these characters in it, this is what they're doing, and here's the resolution, and it's going to be 6 issues or 12 issues or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have this story to tell. Then they put that out, and when that story's done, okay, X-Men is going to sit on the shelf until another writer, or maybe the same writer, has another story to tell. Don't just continually pump them out because, goddammit, we need another Spider-Man this month.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn about that because I like the model of monthly comics. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I'm not a big fan of this kind of relaunch every 12 issues with a new number one. If they would just keep them going, I would be okay with it. But
I think just like the pressure to have something out and like the need to have something out because that's just how they do it. It leads to a lot of just really shitty stuff where it's like, well, we put this together because we needed a book.
Leads to a lot of rape baby stories.
So I think that if they just held back and like, maybe we don't need that one out this month, alternate them a bit, like have like, okay, we've got Spider-Man and X-Men coming out this month. So maybe we don't have Captain America this month.
Maybe the story where Captain America loses his powers shouldn't culminate in Black Captain America. Actually, no, I'm really okay with that. I think that's a great way to go about that. It's a shame that in 6 months that'll be undone.
Wait, are they making, what's the Young Avengers version Cap now?
No, the Falcon is Captain America now.
Oh.
How did you not know that?
Because I haven't been keeping up with the comics.
We've talked about that on the podcast, I think.
It's last I knew Falcon was an apparent, child molester.
What?
And, it was like statutory rape. Oh, but that one. The one girl that last time we saw her, she was 14, and now she's saying she was an adult, but goddamn it, last time we saw her, she was 14, so she's still 14.
By that logic, Captain America is 175 years old. And anybody having sex with him should be arrested for assaulting the elderly.
But, so that's last I knew about Falcon. I didn't know he was becoming Captain America. But so I thought that maybe it was the Young Avengers kid. Is he Patriot?
Patriot.
Okay.
He's often not existing in a book right now, Land. None of those kids are anywhere right now. What's her name?
Kate
Bishop.
She's in Hawkeye.
She's in Hawkeye because she's also Hawkeye because there's two Hawkeyes. I kind of like that. They were like, what's her name going to be? Fuck it, she's Hawkeye. Well, he's Hawkeye. Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, she's Hawkeye, too.
They're both Hawkeye. Hey, there were four Flashes once upon a time. By the way, fun fact, the Brand New Day storyline that Spider-Man did, did you know the Flash did it, like, 5 years before? Because they had, only it did it, of course, slightly better in that the Flash's identity was public knowledge for, like, 20 years. And then his wife got pregnant and a supervillain tried to kill the kid, and he was like, this is kind of fucking crazy. And so the Spectre showed up, and he was like, I can make everybody forget your identity, but I can only do it once. And by the way, you're going to forget, too. And he was like, yeah, fuck it, whatever.
Wait, he forgot who he was?
Yeah, he forgot he was ever the Flash.
Wow.
So, you know, then, you know, like 6 months later, shit hit the fan, and he started to remember. And, it was way better than Brand New Day was.
Where they just didn't address it.
Where they were just like, we're going to reveal your identity, and 3 months later, we're going to make that not a thing anymore. Also, the Flash didn't make a deal with Satan.
It wasn't Satan.
I'm sorry. Spider-Man didn't make a deal with the devil. Mary Jane made a deal with the devil. That's better.
And it wasn't Satan. It was like Mobius or...
Mephisto. Get your shit straight, son.
One of those demonic M-name one of those fucking things.
Mephisto, Mobius, M. Night Shyamalan, Michael Bay...
Mary Jane made a deal with M. Night Shyamalan.
What a twist. I'm imagining Michael Bay now where Peter's like, I don't know what we're going to do to save Aunt May. And then there's just like 40 fucking explosions. And Michael Bay's there like, maybe I can help. Every time he talks, something else blows up. Michael Bay, the god of things go boom.
Yeah, I remember thinking that Brand New Day was going to be really good, and then like 6 months in, it's like, oh, so it's just Spider-Man from like 4 years ago, and it doesn't really make a difference.
I remember being
just undid Civil War. That's nice. Yeah.
Well, they undid Civil War, and then they made him single, and they, like, tried to make him younger, but all they did was make him the same age, living with his aunt and kind of a bum, and also a little rapey.
Wait, what?
There were some storylines that were a little rapey with Spider-Man there. I can't remember the details, but I remember there was a lot of, like, did that girl just, like, rape Spider-Man? And it's like, no. Oh, I remember the Black Cat one, where,
Well, if Tumblr has taught me anything, it's that men can't be raped.
Well, there was the Black Cat one where, him and the Black Cat were running around, like, having an affair. They would, like, break into hotel rooms and bang. And there was just, like, one panel where he's like, don't look at my face! Because his mask fell off. Like, he would insist on wearing the mask so she wouldn't know his identity. And there was, like, literally a panel where he's screaming, don't look!
Well, I do that, too.
When Spider-Man's fucking you, you try to look at his face?
Don't look at me! Don't look at me! We call that rough trade.
Boy, it got awkward in here all of a sudden. What a weird fucking podcast this has been.
Oh, it's better than us just sitting there going, so what do you want to talk about? I don't fucking... It's been a weird stream of consciousness sort of podcast, but it's been... At least we're talking about something and not just like, eh.
At least we're talking about something.
What'd you do this week? Oh, fucking thing. What about you? I don't know.
Hey, my car didn't blow up this week, so I haven't thought nearly as much about, like, just jumping off a fucking cliff. Nah, fuck it.
Is that your suicide noise?
Nah. Oh, people at the bottom of the cliff are like, did you hear a goat? Suicide Goat. Band name, called it Suicide Goat. That's a great band name. Suicide Goat. That's the name of the podcast after this year.
Oh, God.
Tune in this January for Suicide Goat number one.
Imagining you, like, sideways jumping off a cliff. Arms just flat at your side.
Real quick, just to fill in a few minutes to cover the silence, let's hit some wrestling notes.
Okay.
Because I've only got, like, three. Number one, Zack Ryder's out for 6 months with a rotator cuff tear.
Who gives a shit?
You did. If they hadn't honestly told us, would anybody have noticed?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so Zack Ryder would have been off TV for 3 months. How would that have differed from the last 3 months? Who cares? Next.
If Zack Ryder's not on TVs for 6 months, does the crowd still fail to pop? I don't even hate Zack Ryder. I like Zack Ryder, but man, you remember that push?
Yeah, that cup of coffee he had with the United States title.
Oh my god. My favorite joke about that is, man, remember Zack Ryder's push? And then somebody's like, you mean when Kane pushed him off the ramp in the wheelchair? Oh, number two, SmackDown's going to Thursday. Nobody gives a shit either.
You know, I was just thinking about that. I saw a thing earlier about how Impact has not been able to regain over 1 million viewers since they moved to Wednesday, which they moved to Wednesday because all the shit came out saying that SmackDown is moving back to Thursdays. And I was like, I wonder if they just told the truck, like, put a sticker on the side saying that we're going to be on Thursdays just to fuck with TNA. They'll frantically move their show so that they're not in direct competition with us, but we won't move. We won't do anything. Just watch them scramble.
WWE announces new programming 6 days a week, only not on the air on Sundays. We're going to Sunday, Dixie. The best part about that was that supposedly TNA moved to Wednesday and then lost in the ratings war to NXT.
Yeah. I'm surprised fucking every show isn't losing the ratings war to NXT.
Why are you people not watching NXT? Did you see Finn Balor's ring debut?
Mm-hmm.
What a great debut that was. There wasn't even a match. They just came out and did some drop kicks.
There was a match this week.
Was there? I need to watch this week's.
It was him and Hideo Itami. Is that his new name? Kenta. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah.
I was thinking that too. I was like, oh man, it's fucking, it's Kenta.
And then they fought Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel. Really good match.
Oh man, that would be Kidd and Gabriel must be a great tag team, actually.
They really are. And I can't tell if Natty's a heel yet or not, because she's out there, like, nodding along with all the bullshit Tyson's saying and smiling, and she looks like she's really agreeing with him, but...
I think she's a heel, because I read the main event spoilers for this week, and she did a little interference to give Tyson a win.
Okay.
So she's the Miss Elizabeth to his Macho Man. Well, I guess she's the Sherry to his Macho Man. To his Macho King.
Yeah, if it was Liz, then she'd still be sitting there going, no, don't say that. Don't be mean.
Oh, my God. I just imagine the Macho King Tyson kid. Oh, yeah. Snapping to New Japan Pro Wrestling on your iPhone.
Fact. It's
really good. Natty, what are you wearing? Oh, my God.
God, my cats are trying to kill themselves.
They must have heard the podcast.
Just as you said that, I hear outside of my door.
And finally, two big names were, well, not big names, two names were moved around on the website. Did you read about this?
What?
Big Khali taken off the main roster and moved to the alumni section on the website.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God. Khali is 42 and has not been seen on TV in months. Well, maybe a month or so. I seem to recall he was out recently. But the guy has barely been able to walk as long as I can recall.
Yeah, it's like they dust him off, like, once a month when they need to beat up Heath Slater for something. And good lord, cats.
you know what it is? They're really tore up about Zack Ryder.
They must be. No, what are we going to do?
Woo, woo, woo. Also, Brad Maddox, not moved on the alumni page or anything, just gone.
Just gone? He was on the alumni page.
Or no, he's on the alumni page.
Yeah.
Or no, is he?
He's been on the alumni page since he got, quote, fired.
He's just been removed, period.
I wonder if they're going to bring him back.
Maybe they're going to bring him back in the Great Khali's gimmick.
I'm on the, no, he's still on the alumni page.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, they must have put him back up.
And there's Khali. Yep, right next to Goldberg.
Oh, there's a matchup we'll never get. The Great Khali and Goldberg. How do you think that match would go, Mike? The correct answer is poorly.
Spear, jackhammer, they're done in 2 minutes.
You give them 2 minutes, really?
Yeah.
You're way more generous than I am.
Why are Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury on the alumni section? They're on TV more than half these people.
Boogeyman, Brad Maddox, Bill Pillman, or Brian Pillman. Bill Pillman?
Bill Pillman. I loved him in Spaceballs.
Yeah, you remember that fight he did with Rick Moranis where he jumped off the top of the spaceship, right? You remember that scene in Spaceballs where he was like, I got a Glock!
Remember when he pulled the gun on the alien in Independence Day? That was great.
Can we just talk about this lineup on the alumni page? Giant Gonzalez, Gilbert, the Gobbledygooker, Goldberg, and the Great Khali. Wrestling, everybody, wrestling.
There's the Survivor Series team for you.
Team, oh my God, we used to pay money to watch this? Be real impressed when they get Giant Gonzalez to come out. You know, considering he's a corpse.
Oh.
You just be the Undertaker dressed like him. Who cares?
Yeah, you ever want to just kind of be depressed about wrestling? Go on the alumni section sometime and see how many of them are dead.
The answer is more than you would think, but less than you would hope.
Dead, 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 dead.
Are you doing it right now?
Yeah, pretty much. Bam Bam, Big Boss Man, Big Daddy V, Pillman, Bulldog, well, Brodus's career, Bruiser Brody, Buddy Rose.
thanks for listening, everybody.
Camacho's career. Gotta put him in two separate categories. Actually dead and just dead career. Crash, Crush, Kurt
I saw
Hawkins.
Chris Masters, and I wanted to say Chris Masters, but I feel like he's got a good second career as a fireman after he did that whole thing with the tree. Tune in next week. I don't know what we'll talk about. Probably Power Rangers, since we didn't discuss it this week.
I think we should save up our Power Rangers talk for another 2 weeks when we have the big finale.
Oh, the finale. Do we have to do the big Super Mega Force Super Mega special?
I think we might have. It's been about a year since we did the last one.
If you would like to see a 2-hour Power Ranger special, I mean, you're probably going to get it no matter what, but tweet us and let us know. Maybe we'll do something special. I don't know what we'd do, but maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll buy some toys, and me and you can reenact our favorite Power Rangers. Then Chris did like a full 3 hours on YouTube of him just playing with Power Rangers toys. Mike did one too, but it was just him with like all the villains' toys at once.
Yeah, and Chris says he just broke the legs off of all of them.
Watched him spend 45 minutes painting tears on Kimberly's toy. Bye, everybody.
Why would that take you 45 minutes?
I very painstakingly work on the tears. Say goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye, Mike.